So, as we try to wrap up this Thanksgiving weekend, for this afternoon, I would like to read a few verses from the Gospel according to Luke, from the chapter 17. Luke 17, and we're going to start with verse 11. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, starting with verse 11, if you would wish to follow. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, which when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I think we have knowledge of this account, familiar story of the 10 lepers that were being healed by Jesus. If you look at Synoptic Gospels, it looks like just prior to this, he raised Lazarus, resuscitated Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. And he was now heading back again, passing onto Jerusalem. He was passing again through midst of Samaria and Galilee. He was on his way to Jerusalem to his crucifixion. And 10 men meet him from afar off. Obviously, they must have by now, this is end of his ministry almost. By now, they must have heard, witnessed, not necessarily witnessed, but must have known about his ability and willingness to heal, to help people. And there were 10 of them. And it appears one was a Samaritan, and 9 must have been of the Jewish descent. Oh, and even Samaritans are half Jews. They were from afar off. What do we know from, obviously, from the Old Testament that the leprosy was a skin disease, and the Bible in the Old Testament refers to leprosy of various forms of skin disease. But this probably is the modern version of Hansen, which is very bad. And so according to the Old Testament requirements, those that were determined to be of infected by this disease needed to be removed from the gatherings, you know, where they lived. They needed to be put outside of the places where they lived. So they were being pushed out. And so these men, as they were scrounging and trying to make a living and living far away from their homes, from their families, from things that they knew, and were surviving on whatever people would bring and begging, when they saw him from afar off, because they were not allowed to come close to anybody that was healthy. And as a matter of fact, if you were accidentally to run across a leprous person or a group of them, their requirement was to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." They needed to identify, "I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner." That would be quite interesting if you had to do that today. But that was basically the Old Testament requirement. So I think in this sense, there was two purposes. First of all, God was trying to keep the rest of the people healthy and protect them from this very bad infection and disease. But in a very visual way, God was displaying what sin is all about. That it was very devastating and destroying us and in a sense that we are separated from him. So that's a visual picture of the spiritual application of the leprosy. And so that's the background. So we know that only priests could declare someone being healthy. So priests at that time acted also as medical staff, if you will. They were, let's just make sure I keep time. And they were basically responsible for examining if somebody was being healed. Now, interesting enough, I think we mentioned that the other day in a Bible class, that from the record that we have, there was never a person healed until Jesus Christ. There was never an example of a Jewish person being healed from leprosy, even though there were descriptions and prescriptions how one was to declare be healthy and clean. God, by his grace, healed Naaman, the Assyrian captain. And we see that what God has displayed, he was healing people outside of Israel, but not in Israel until Jesus came. And this morning, we were actually referring even to some of the references in Isaiah of his prophetic statements that he would come and he would help heal. And he was performing these acts of healing. This was a miracle. What we see here, a beautiful example, is that they asked for help. He responded and he simply told them, go and see the priests. That was the message. He says, go show yourselves unto the priests. You would not go to see the priests unless you were healed. He did not tell him, no worry, you are healed now, now go. He told him, go and heal, show yourselves to the priests. Now we see that they had faith in him. They asked for help, and in response, they demonstrated faith. Because they turned around and started walking before they were healed. They believed in his command and the fact that he can do that. And I think Christ, in a way, rewarded that belief and that faith. Because as soon as they start heading towards the priest, they realize, this is very obvious if you have that disease on whatever part of your body, if it's not completely, you know, all over, that they were being healed. All 10 of them. But the moral of this story is that the only one of them, and he was even a Samaritan who was really despised by the Jews in many ways, only he turned. What's another interesting point here, that there were 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan in the same group. You heard the Dostoevsky saying, the misery loves company. Yeah? When it comes to the situation of life and death which they were facing, suddenly where you were born and what your background was didn't matter anymore. When you recognize your real need and your real problem, suddenly you realize that you were all in the same boat. And they were grouped together. They spent time together, trying to survive. Christ honored their faith, I believe, and they got healed on their way back. But only Samaritan turned back, and he says, praise God, if I would say in today's language, and bow down to worship him, recognize him that he is the Lord, not just the master, perhaps that he had ability to heal, but he was Lord. He says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan, recognizing the power that he's in, you know, in front of worshiping him. And Christ said, weren't they not 10 of you? And this is the part of this story is, how often do we experience the grace of God, and how rare do we take the opportunity to give God the thanks? Just think about it. When we get in trouble, We have no difficulty of approaching God in prayer, asking others to pray for us. But how frequently do we go and turn around in praise? For keep in mind that the purpose God saves us, ultimate purpose is to give him glory, to praise him. Yes, he saves us that we can have fellowship with him. Out of his love and grace, he helps us out of our sinful state. But ultimate purpose is to give him praise and glory. God deserves that, and God desires that. We can come, there were nine of them, probably nine reasons why they never came back. And I can probably try to guess some of the reasons. They were so preoccupied, they were cleansed, physically cleansed, they were physically healed. Oh, I can go back to my family, I can go back to my job, I can do this, I can do that. Oh, that probably happened before even Christ said anything. You can come up with any reasons you want. But don't be too quick to judge why. Ask yourself, what is your GQ? And I'm not talking about Gentleman's Quarterly Magazine. I'm talking about the gratitude quotient. How quickly do you turn and reflect your gratitude for what God has done and what God is doing? You know, I started this morning with our services with the song, I think, 236, Oh, Now Give Our Thanks to God. These days we have all these books and references and devotionals. I have one of those that, if you look about the history of that song, it was one of the Martin Luther's priests that penned down this song. And it happened during the famous 30-year war, if you've ever read about the struggles in Europe in the 17th century of the Reformation and all that. And this priest had, at least on the average, 40 funerals a day to conduct. But to help his family focus on what's really important and to give God thanks amidst of this horrible situation where some 6 to 8 million people were killed, and the plagues, and the warfare, and his wife dying, he penned down the words of this song. And he used it with his family, with his children, around the table to give God the thanks. That is a heart of gratitude. It is very easy that we find ourselves, when things are going well for us, to find the words of appreciation and gratitude towards God. But we struggle when things don't go our way, when things around us are not going our way, when whatever is happening right now in the world, in our lives, in our country, and whatever, we're just up in arms about everything. How frequently do we stop and give God thanks for who he is and what ultimately spiritually he has done for us? For that's really what matters. That these troubles in life we're going to face on and off as long as we live. But the heart of gratitude reflects how much we really appreciate and love God. And that's what he asks of us. That's what he looks to us in closing. Just a reminder, he says that we are to avoid grumbling and complaining because that's the antidote. This is the way. If we avoid that, we could be more grateful and thankful. He says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's 2 Corinthians. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, Philippians 2:14. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So as we close on this weekend of Thanksgiving, and we enjoyed, most of us, time with family and extended family, time off from work, perhaps for many. Let's just not use only these 2-3 days in a year to be reminded that God delights in our praise of Him, that God loves to hear our voices of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, even in the most challenging circumstances. For He's aware of everything that we're going through. If He's sovereign, then He knows and He has allowed it to happen. And He wants to see, will we be like the 9 Jews that just went on and enjoyed the blessing? They experienced the physical healing and went on back to their own lives. But the far more important, which the Samaritan experienced, physical healing was a blessing by all means, but the spiritual salvation is a far greater gift, the one that we talked about this morning, about the exchange for something far more valuable. That has a far greater importance than anything else in life. May we continue to praise our God, not just today, but in every day of our lives. Let's continue with singing. Amen.